The night may be long and the dark may be deep, but the answers are there to be found. Whether it's the normal, the abnormal, or the paranormal, you're in the right place. Let's go beyond reality.
We've got a terrific show for you tonight. This will shape up to be one of the best. It always is when we have Cindy McGill on the program. Cindy's a master dream interpreter. She's going to take your phone call. She'll tell you what your dreams mean. You know, maybe you've had a recurring dream. Maybe you've had a scary dream, or maybe you've just had one that confuses you. Regardless, she'll be able to tell you what they mean. Or in some cases, in fact, I was chatting on Facebook earlier when I was announcing tonight's program. Some cases, people, you're not dreaming at all. At least you can't remember. What does that mean? Well, Cindy will be able to tell us that as well. Cindy McGill, our guest tonight. Looking ahead quickly, tomorrow night, Lon Strickler will be here. He is a Fortean researcher. And he'll be talking about winged humanoid creatures that have been seen around Chicago, as well as alien disclosure. That's tomorrow night's program. And then Friday, of course, is a best of show. And then Monday night, Colin Dickey will be with us. He's an author and a speaker. And we'll be talking about the age-old tradition of telling ghost stories at Christmas. Why did we do that? We don't seem to do it so much anymore, although it might be coming back in vogue. But it used to be quite a tradition. We'll talk about why that was the case, what stories were often shared, and then we'll also talk about his books on ghosts, aliens, and the unexplained. That's Monday night's program. Tuesday and Wednesday will be best of. That's Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, and then we'll be back Thursday night of next week for a live program. Can't go that long without hanging out with my friends here at Beyond Reality Radio. So great stuff coming up. I will tell you, and actually I'm going to urge you to go to YouTube and subscribe to my YouTube channel. There are a lot of things that are coming up on the YouTube channel that you won't hear on the radio, and you need to be subscribed to the channel, preferably with notifications on so you're aware of what's going on. This show streams live there every night. Plus, there's an archive of back episodes of Beyond Reality Radio on the YouTube channel, plus bonus content, and there will be other things coming up as well. So go to YouTube, search for JV Johnson. When you find it, subscribe. It's JV Johnson's Beyond Paranormal is the name of the page. And I'd love to have you as a subscriber. We're getting close to 3,000 subscribers. Let's get those numbers up. Make yourself one of them. It's very easy to find. Go to YouTube, search for JV Johnson, and subscribe. Okay, so we are going to go to break. When we come back, we'll get this conversation about dreams underway. Hey gang, it's JV here. We hope you're enjoying this episode of Beyond Reality Radio. Some of you are new to the program, and some of you have been with us for years. And no matter if you're interested in ghosts, the UFO phenomenon, conspiracy discussions, or any of the other topics we explore on this program, we do it for you. Our goal here is to help find answers to some of the world's most enduring mysteries. And as we continue to bring you interviews and discussions each night, it's important that we get your feedback and, even more importantly, your support. The media landscape is forever changing, and as it does, we need to be able to change with it. That's why it's important for you right now to go to our YouTube channel and subscribe. Once on YouTube, just search for JV Johnson. You'll find it there. Subscribe. It's all free, and it'll make you part of our global community. In addition, Beyond Reality Radio is available as a podcast. Go to your favorite podcast platform and search for Beyond Reality Radio and subscribe there as well. And finally, we have an archive program that you may enjoy as well. This show can be found on major podcast platforms, and it's called Beyond Reality Paranormal. By supporting us in one or all of those places, you can be sure we'll be able to continue to deliver quality shows to you, no matter what form the media landscape takes. As a paranormal historian, I promise you the best and most entertaining conversations as we continue to hunt for the truth. Welcome back to Beyond Reality Radio. Great to have you here. I'm your host, JV Johnson. Thanks for being with us tonight. Our guest tonight is Cindy McGill. Cindy's a master dream interpreter. She's returning to the program she's been on before. The last time we had a great time, I'm expecting nothing less. Cindy, welcome back to Beyond Reality Radio. Great to have you here again.
Oh, it's good, right? It's always good to be here. Always loving being with you guys.
Oh, it's so much fun. It's so much fun. And I love what you do, and I love to hear you talk about what you do, and I know our listeners enjoy the same thing. Let's start by kind of refreshing people's memories. Maybe some are new to the program, too, and haven't heard you talk with us before. How did you get started doing this?
Well, I was a dreamer. I am a dreamer. And I think that my husband and I started having crazy dreams. We knew that they meant something. It seemed like we couldn't shake them off. And we just really began to be very curious about messages we were receiving in dreams, but we didn't know what they meant. You know, we knew it wasn't food, pizza, or whatever. So we really began to investigate and realize that some dreams are dreams that, you know, just from our own soul or from our inward daily process or things are processed at night. And other dreams are supernatural. They are messages that come from a different realm. And so as we've explored our own dream journey, we found that other people are having similar experiences. And it has been absolutely fascinating for us in our discovery of what we think dreams can mean and how important they are and valuable. And so it's really been a great adventure for us.
You say your husband and you were having weird, crazy dreams. Were you having the same dreams?
We did a couple of times. Wow. We actually dreamed the same dream. Yeah, and on the same night, which was very unusual. It really piqued our curiosity because we thought, all right, this can't be like just a coincidence. When it happened at least more than once, you know, we thought we really need to delve into this and find out why are we, what is that, you know? And we began to understand that it was a message communicated to both of us together because we are one, you know, married couple, and it was instructional for us. So it really helped us to guide our path and to guide our life. And that was even more important, I think, as we started to look into that as a vehicle of communication for our own pathways.
So then by what I understand you're saying here is that dreams are not only an expression of something from within ourselves, but it's also something something or someone or some entity or some dimension, we'll figure out what that is as our conversation goes on, communicating with us.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. And especially, and I get dreams by email all over the world just because of the book I've written and sure. Talk shows I've done and even yours. You know, I've received emails from people and so many of the dreams are similar and these are from people that don't know each other. They don't have any communion or have any way to know one another. And I receive the dream and read them and they're so very similar. And so it began to, you know, awaken me to the fact that there's something, I think it's supernatural. I think it's a supernatural experience that we're having. It's something that is beyond our own natural ability on planet Earth as humans. It's from a supernatural realm, and there's a message there, and it needs to be unpacked or revealed, or sometimes just having a dream told to us, we kind of look at it as a second pair of eyes on that dream and say, let us look as an outsider as to what you might be receiving that message, and let's try and figure out the deeper parts of it. You know, what could that be telling you?
So, I mean, it wouldn't be too far-fetched to think that, you know, and let's just use a really basic, easy-to-understand example. When we had the terrorist attacks of 9/11 and people all over the world watched the live news reports and saw those towers come down. It wouldn't be far-fetched to think a lot of people would be so bothered by that they would have dreams about it, and therefore, you know, a lot of people would be dreaming the same thing. But what you're saying here now is that these dreams that people are telling you about don't relate to something that everyone would have had access to or would have seen or would have talked about or had on social media?
Yeah, I mean, you have both. You have people that did, of course, were involved or alive during that time of 9/11. But we've also found in our journeys, because we interpret dreams everywhere. We go all over the place and interpret just random people, you know. We found that there were people who actually dreamed about two towers falling in New York before 9/11.
And that's a whole different ballgame, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It is. And they had it journaled and they had it dated. One of them was back in April. And of course, this didn't happen until September. And so And it was just, it almost gives you goosebumps, you know, and chills.
Sure.
And you're like, what is that? And so we begin to realize that some of the dreams on that level are prophetic. They have a prophetic bent. They have a foretelling or a future forecast, you know, that shows something that hasn't happened yet, but they're picking it up. And again, I believe it's from a supernatural realm. I believe that it comes from, you know, in my case, I would say God. And so not all, of course, dreams are from God. But in that case, when something is that specific, dated in April, and then the person this has a dream, journaled it, dated it, and then in September, that very event takes place, that's going to get your attention.
So I've got so many questions, and we only have a few minutes before the break here, but let's talk about God for a second, because I don't mean this question to sound insulting to people who believe God, and I'm one of them. I am one of them. But if God is willing, or God is putting these images, and again, let's use the 9/11 example for a second. If God is putting these images into people's minds, why isn't he making it a little clearer so that something can be done about it? Why put them there at all?
Yeah, I know. It's a puzzling question. And I believe that oftentimes people that have those types of dreams are able to even dream something. We've had these experiences where they can dream something and they say, every time I do, about a certain person or about this certain thing, it happens. You have two ways to go about it. If you're a believer in God, you can begin to question and delve further into God's existence and find out what you might or might more messages or more information being communicated. And if you're not a believer in God, then you can begin to say, I'm picking up on things that could happen, and they do happen, and I dream them, and they happen. And how can I benefit, or how can I avoid someone from getting in that car or getting on that plane or whatever, you know? And so we're on a discovery. We're simply on a discovery. And I think that...
Mm-hmm. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I just think we're on a discovery. And for me, you know, I feel that it's something that I want more information about. And I begin to question, and I want to find more. And it's really interesting that people who have those type of really revealing dreams, I mean, that are really significant. Let's take the 9/11 dream, for instance. Person had it in April. It's so far-fetched. It seems so out there that you wouldn't necessarily, I wouldn't probably pay much attention to something like that.
Right.
And then, you know, because it happened in September.
Right.
So it'd be so one of those things where you journal, and that's where your journaling comes in, which is another big element of dream interpretation. If you can journal things, you begin to build a pathway about certain things that you're being alerted to. So I feel like, you know, we're just on this supernatural journey. We don't have all the answers. I believe there's just things that are way past our finding out. We're going to know what we can know. We're going to examine what we can examine. We're going to discover what we can discover. And, you know, we're along the journey. We've adjusted our thinking according to certain things as we've continued on down the path. So
these precognitive dreams, these dreams that kind of foretell the future in some fashion, how common are they? You say you get a lot of emails. So when you get emails, I'm sure they're not all precognitive. What kind of percentage or frequency are you seeing this kind of prophetic dream?
Yeah. And that's a good question. I think it depends. If I've been on a show, then whatever my audience is, sometimes I'll get out of, let's say, 50 dreams or 200 dreams that come in, I will have probably 3 to 4 that are very much alike, okay, within the 200, 150 to 200 realm.
Okay.
And so I begin to, of course, flag them, and I go, okay, I want to put these dreams up against one another and look at this, because this one's from England and this one is from Alabama. I mean, and so I'm like, what? They, and I know they don't know each other. They'll come in within a week's period of time or something like that. So I'm going to say, and that's just a real rough guess, but yeah, probably 3 to 4 maybe out of 150 to 200 people, I'll have some very similar about a specific area. I was on a show probably maybe 8 years ago, and the audience was vast. It was pretty big. It was, I don't even know how many people it reached, but I started getting emails in right away, and within a week's period of time, there were 4 or 5 emails about New York City.
Wow.
And then I went to a coffee shop just to interpret dreams for fun on a Friday night.
That's what we do. That's what you do for fun on a Friday night. I love that. I love that.
Well, you know, when you're on this journey, sometimes, not every Friday night, but yeah. And there was a woman in the coffee shop who was a nurse at a hospital in town. And she told me a dream very similar to the 4 or 5 dreams that I had received via email from that particular show. And she hadn't listened to the program.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah, so.
Tonight, we're talking with Cindy McGill, Master Dream Interpreter. Her website is her name, cindymcgill.org. And her book is called What Your Dreams Are Telling You, Unlocking Solutions While You Sleep. Cindy, our phone lines are filling up, but before we start talking to folks, you told us how you got started, but how long ago did all of this start to come together for you?
Are you talking about when we begin to, it started to click and we started to understand what dreams meant?
When you started to interpret dreams for other people, I guess, is really the...
Probably the late 90s, I'm going to say, yeah. I think it all started around the mid-90s when we really started paying attention, when it felt like we were just under a waterfall of dreams every night. And that's when it really awakened us to the fact that we're receiving messages and we need to know what these are. And it was almost, it almost made us mad, you know, a little bit like, why are we getting all these things and we don't know what they mean? So probably the interpretation part began to click in probably the late, I'm going to say 98, 97, 98.
Okay, let's jump to our phone lines. This is Terry. Terry's in South Carolina. Hey, Terry, welcome to the program.
Hi.
You're on with Cindy.
Hey.
Hey.
How are you? Thank you.
I'm good.
I'm sorry. I was just going to ask about a dream that I'd had. I kept having the same dream, like when I was little or younger or whatever. And I remember asking my mom if she remembered. It was like we were in a car, and I was a little girl, and we were sitting in a car, and I kept seeing this woman, like, walking over a hill, kind of like staggering or whatever, and she had a empty can in her hand or, like, a garbage can or whatever in her hand. And I kept having that dream. And my mom would say, no, that never happened. That never happened. And then probably like 10 or 15 years ago, I was walking up a hill, and it was like I was seeing myself doing it. And it dawned on me that was the same thing that I had saw in my dream. It was like I saw myself.
That's interesting. So kind of like a deja vu. Maybe. I mean, here you dreamed it as a little girl. It just goes to tell us that, you know, all of our days are numbered. And so there's no time outside of our natural reality, you know, in space. There's really no time. And so basically you were, I think, projecting or fast forwarding. You probably have a gift that you were born with. And just to be able to see that your life is, you know, you're going to be living your life. And as you do, certain things that you knew as a little girl, your innocence, you were small, you were young, you were in the car and you had that repetitive dream. And I believe that it was just giving you a glimpse into your future to tell you you're on the right track. This is exactly what you're meant to do. This is where you're meant to be. And so it was just playing out for you. And also, I think it would qualify you, give me more of an assurance to say, make sure that you begin to, if you're not already, make sure that you journal your dreams, because you're getting messages that are advanced. You know, about your own life and possibly the life of other people.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought, but I mean, I really didn't know what to do with it, I guess. But, I mean, that's just one dream that stuck with me, and I didn't know. I mean, I've had some people to say that they think that I'm intuitive or whatever you call it. I'm not even sure what that means, but
yeah, yeah. I think everybody's got a bit of a different definition. Terry, thank you so much for the phone call from South Carolina. We appreciate you checking in with us. Again, the phone number is 844-687-7669. Cindy, take a minute and just tell us about the book. What if someone is interested in this topic in general, what's the book going to do for them?
Oh, the book is going to be very easy for them to read. It's going to be very easy for them to begin to understand the simpler ways of interpreting dreams. I've given a lot of examples of dreams that we've received. We actually created a documentary that we showed during the Sundance Film Festival one year, probably around 8 years ago. And so some of the dreams that we received on the streets of the Sundance Film Festival are actually in the book as well. So there will not only be instruction on how to interpret your dreams, but there's also examples of dreams that say, for instance, here's this, here was a situation we encountered, here was a person who had this dream, and here was what it meant. So it's really something that would benefit a broad audience. Anyone could read it. And then at the back, I do have a dream journal that I created where you date, especially repetitive dreams, where you date your dream, when you had the dream, and then when did you have it again, and make sure that you journal in between that time so you can see the life lived that you've done. And then it begins to put a puzzle together, like a piece of a puzzle, where you can see your life being mapped out, so to speak, by your dreams.
All right, let's go to Joe. Let's go to Joe, who's in Buffalo, New York. Hey, Joe, welcome to the program. You're on with Cindy McGill.
How you doing, JB?
Great, thank you.
Yes, the recurrent dream. I've been having a recurrent dream, which hasn't been too recurrent lately. I'd say about 15 to 20 years ago, I'd have it like every 6 months or so. And actually, the dream was I was just driving, and all of a sudden I'd be on a bridge, and the bridge would just kind of go up. And I'm thinking, I don't think this bridge was this tall, you know. And all of a sudden I'd reach the top, and I'd realize there's nothing below me. And all of a sudden down I'd go, you know, and I would wake up like I'm drowning, you know. And then I had other ones similar to it. I'd be driving, and all of a sudden I'm driving like near a lake, and all of a sudden I'm thinking about taking a shortcut. I'm thinking, yeah, I could kind of drive to the other side of the lake. I know how to get on a road. But all of a sudden I think about a shortcut, and I find myself driving through the lake on a road, and I'm thinking, this is strange. A road in the lake. I know it's strange, but I'm going along with the dream, right? I'm thinking it's real. And all of a sudden, I noticed I'm being overtaken by this water. And I wake up again. You know, I'm thinking, how the heck did I end up here? You know, I knew it was even in the dream. I didn't feel right. And then those kind of went away. And then I had another couple of dreams, which were recurring for a while, where I'd find myself talking to a couple of friends and having a good time out, like in a country area. And all of a sudden, somebody'd say, okay, we'll catch you guys later. See you later. And away they'd go. I'd get my car, and I'd have no idea where I'm at. I'd feel, like, completely lost. And I'm thinking, what town am I in, you know? And I'd get, like, panicky, really. And then I'd kind of wake up with a cold sweat and then realize, hey, where did that come from? So it was, and I think about it every so often. And it's not that they're, as I get older, you know, they're not that recurrent, but for a while they seem to be like back to back. And I was just wondering if you have any idea what would have brought on being on a bridge and all of a sudden seeing the bridge fall out from underneath you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you feel, wow.
Yes, it probably has to do, since you had them, it seems like in a space of time, it could have been when you were in transition, or you were taking risks, or you had unexplained pathways that you weren't sure about, but you knew that you needed to examine them or go that direction. And I wonder, whenever, it's kind of like a falling dream a little bit, you know, how you're, you feel like you're just falling off of a cliff and you don't know where you're going to land and that kind of thing. That's what the bridge tells me about. Bridges also are transition places, similar to hallways. And it feels like that you were going along in your car, and then all of a sudden, everything, the bottom dropped out, or something just wasn't right, or it just didn't seem like it was. And usually it's when you're in transition in your life. You're making decisions, or things are happening, or things out of your control are coming toward you, any number of things. It could be your job. It could be your environment. You could be moving into a new home, to a new state. You could be, you know, taking a risk or jumping off into something that you're not sure about. You think it looks okay, but you're not really sure if it's going to benefit you or if it's really going to be the way, but you take the jump anyway, like driving across the water, and then all of a sudden you're engulfed in water. And I think that because you had them in a period of time, it probably was identifying something that was going on at that time, because you're not having them now, you said.
Right. I had one maybe about 6 months ago, but not the last one I had was the one where I was with the friends in this country area, and all of a sudden we said
you didn't know where
each
you
other away I went, and I was sure I knew where I was going. All of a sudden I realized, where am I? What? I don't even know what town I'm in. I have no idea. Like, what route am I on? You know, and then I wake up out of that dream, you know, and still lost. Woke up with having no idea where was I, what town were we in when we were talking. You know, it's just complete.
Well, a dream like that, what you just told me, would tell me that you're getting ready to get some real solid direction. So you're not going to be lost. You're going to actually find, you're going to have some solid steps to take for your future days. Because anytime you have a dream like that where you're lost and you feel like, I don't really know where I'm going, an answer is just around the corner. It's just getting ready to happen for you, so that you're going to know exactly where you are, what you're doing, and where you're meant to be. And you'll be at the right place at the right time for the right event.
Joe,
things are getting prepared.
Yeah, Joe, thank you so much for the phone call and sharing those dreams with us. Cindy, before we go back, go to the next caller here, I just want to kind of follow up on the last caller we had. Why do some of these dreams recur over, you know, a period of time and then just suddenly stop? Is that common?
It is common. And oftentimes it's to do with a season that you're in your life. So, you know, the more important or the more transitional, I would say, a season is in your life, the more you're going to have reoccurring dreams. And the reason you have reoccurring dreams is because a message is trying to get your attention. It's trying to get to you, to show you or to give you some help or give you a look into some things you could be facing or going into, and again, a lot of it is seeking it out. Like, why am I having this dream over and over and over again? You know, I have my own understanding about that. I believe, you know, I have a whole chapter in my book. We talked a little bit earlier about that, of when God gives a dream, and I think that sometimes God's trying to get a message to us.
Right, right.
He's trying to say to us, hey,
pay attention.
This is going to help you.
Wake up, figuratively. All right, let's go to the phone line again. This is Crystal in Salt Lake City, Utah. Hey, Crystal, welcome to the program.
Hello, how are you?
Great. What's on your mind?
Okay, so I was kind of wondering what my dream last night was. Like, every time I fall asleep, I would get attacked.
This is last night?
This was last night.
Okay.
And there was an old guy that said he was going to keep on poking me. I don't know who it was, but I was getting touched. I couldn't get it off me. My daughter even had to wake me up, like I was screaming.
Wow, well, that's certainly unpleasant. Just so you know, Cindy, we only have about 4 minutes here before we have to go to our top of the hour break. So, what do you think about Crystal's dream? Sounds kind of nasty.
Yeah, it wasn't anyone that you recognized. It was just some foreign person, an older person.
Yeah. It was an old man. You. I have no clue who it was.
Yeah. Usually if it's an older person, it has to do with generational stuff. I know that sounds weird, but it's because it's grown. It's old. It's got some kind of, it thinks it has right to come in and torment you in your sleep. And the good part is you can flip that around and realize that the reason why it's happening now is because you're getting ready to move into something now where that won't torment you anymore. In other words, you're going to grow out of it. You're going to grow up. You're going to stand up. You're going to stand up to it and realize that whatever the past, whatever was generationally in your past is not going to affect you. It's not going to affect your future or your life or your family or anything else. And I believe that it's a turning point for you right now. I think it's something that you're going to wake up and you're going to realize this has no bearing on me. That might have been something that happened that thought it could come in and torment me that has been generational, but it is no longer affecting me or my family or anyone else in my future days and days ahead. Mm-hmm. That's why it was old. And these things are, I just call them fear-based dreams, but it has some significance in the fact that it was old. If it was just, you know, a being or a shadow or something like that, it would have a different meaning. But because it was an older man, it tells me something about it being generational or something that's been following your family line. I would investigate. I would talk to some of my relatives, aunts, uncles, mother, dad, whatever, and find out, is this something that you've wrestled with? Is this something that you've also had an experience with?
Okay, yep. Crystal, yeah. Does that help?
Yeah, a little.
Okay. It sounds like you might be a little bit afraid. I'd follow Cindy's advice, and maybe you'll get some answers that way. Thanks for calling, and thanks for sharing that. We have a bunch of people still on hold. We don't have time before this next break to go to any of those phone calls. So if you're on hold, please wait patiently. We will get to your calls after the break. And the phone number is 844-687-7669. Cindy, where can people get your book?
They can get it on my website, cindymeagle.org. Or you can get it on Amazon.com. It's just, we have it, and I think they've even got it in Barnes & Noble in certain stores. You can check around and see. But those two places for sure, my website and Amazon, you can get the book.
And do you offer private readings, private sessions, or I guess not readings, but analysis for people if they go to the website? Can they get a hold of you for that?
Yes. There is a small charge, just because sure. It does take my time, and I spend a lot of time trying to help them, oftentimes several emails to try and help them discover what their dream could mean. There's a small little fee, but it just helps us with our efforts. And yes, they can send a dream in, and I think it's about a $30 charge or something, but it's worth it.
Right. Okay, that's great. And again, the website is cindymeagle.org. Not .com, it's .org. And another reminder to go to the YouTube channel. Go to YouTube and search for J.V. Johnson. It's very easy to find, and it's kind of important. We want you to go there and subscribe, and once you do, you'll be treated to about 450 back episodes. Plus, you can catch the show as a live stream on YouTube every night we air live. And there's a great chat room that is part of that live stream, which is a lot of fun as well. Again, go to YouTube, search for J.V. Johnson. Be sure to subscribe. Cindy, before we start jumping back to phone calls, you know, one of the things I find about your work and when I read more about what you do and how you do it, you really take helping people very, very seriously, don't you?
Yes. Yes, I do.
I mean, that's noble, right?
I love to see people come alive. You know, I feel like just in life alone, we face so many pressures, so many difficult times, so many things. And there's always a silver lining somewhere. And I'm hoping, I guess my approach to dream interpretation is to, even if a negative dream is told to me, we can always see the opposite side of it and begin to give people something to look forward to and give them a hope.
Let's go to the phones. This is Rick from Florida. Hey, Rick, welcome to the program. You're on with Cindy Meagle.
Thanks for taking my phone call.
Thanks for being patient.
Yes, well, you're quite welcome. I like to share the strangest dream I ever had in my life. It occurred on April the 26th, 1986. I was visiting my parents in Dayton, Ohio. I was living in Lansing, Michigan at the time. And while I was at my parents sleeping, I had this nightmare. I had these three gangsters that were beating me up, and they're like beating me to death. And all at once, Broderick Crawford appeared in my dream. And he started throwing these guys off of me, and they started jumping on him, and he was fighting them. And he told me to run, get out of here, get out of here. So I woke up, and I never dreamed about him before. And I thought, boy, that was, quite a dream.
Right.
Scared the hell out of me. And so then I packed my things up, and I was heading back to my place in Michigan. And I was on the road, and right at 12 o'clock in the afternoon, the news came on, and the first thing they said was, Broderick Crawford died last night. Now, I'd like to know, do you think that's a coincidence, or what's your thoughts about a dream like that?
Wow, that's interesting. Broderick Crawford, I'm not familiar with him. Was he a boxer or a fighter?
He was an actor. He was famous for Highway Patrol back in late 50s, 60s. It's a TV series. He played in other movies also, but that was his main role in that TV series.
So you would have known him as like an officer or a policeman or something like that?
I knew him from other movies too, but, he mostly played an officer, a police officer. Mm. And, I used to watch the program with my dad when I was a kid.
That's interesting. And, yeah, I'm going to say that I think the dream is probably twofold. One, it was probably identifying the fact that because he did die that morning or that next day or whatever it was, that you have a gift, the ability to know things or to see things before they happen, and mm-hmm. also because you invested in him as a child, knowing his different characters that he would play, you've been given divine protection. And because gangsters were beating you up, and you said it was in April 26, 1986, and right. I believe that it has something to do with a period of time in your life when you became aware of the fact that you have divine protection. You've got something that is fighting battles for you, that you're not all alone, that you're not open or you're not going to be taken out by attack. And so that's one message of that dream. And the other message is that you have a gift on the mm-hmm. inside of you that you were probably born with and you didn't even realize it. And the fact that was such a vivid dream and you've remembered it for so long, it's awakened in you because the man, that particular actor, ended up dying the next day. So, I think it's positive in the fact that in your specific dream, you were not being taken out. You felt like you were all alone. You felt like you were hopeless. You felt like you were being attacked by gangsters, people coming out of nowhere, but you right. had protection. You had divine protection, protection that came from a source you didn't expect. And so that's going to continue on with you the rest of your life,
mm-hmm.
Which should be a comfort to you, actually, but also that you have that gift operating in you.
Rick, have you had since that date? I mean, that was, what are we talking about, 33 years ago. Have you had since that particular dream and any other dreams that you might be considered prophetic in any way?
I've had some others. I was in the Army, and I had a dream like where I see some soldiers. They look like ghosts, and they come to visit me, and they wanted me to go with them, and I would wake up, But the one that really has I think about quite often is the one with Broderick Crawford. I often wonder if maybe if he hadn't showed up in the dream, if I might have died that night myself. I don't, you know.
No.
It seemed like
that's highly likely. I mean, unlikely. That would be stretching it, you know. But I could see where you would want to know that. But yeah, I think it has more to do with you're being shown something. You were actually being shown something because, again, you said you used to watch TV with your dad, and he was an actor, and he played those parts, you know, kind of the good guy, you know. And he showed up and took care of your gangsters.
Yeah.
Rick, thanks so much. Yeah, thanks for sharing that and thanks for the phone call. We appreciate you listening as well. Let's see, do we have time to take one more before our break? Yeah, I think we do. Let's go to Anthony. Anthony's in Atlanta. Hey, Anthony, welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing?
Great, thank you. You're on with Cindy.
Hey, Cindy. I just have a quick dream. So I've had this dream three times, three occurrences for the dream. My mother passed a year and a half ago, and in the first two dreams, she came to me wearing all white. I couldn't make out anything that she was saying. And probably a few weeks ago, I had another dream. In the dream, I was shot twice. Ooh. And my mother came to me wearing all white, and basically she was comforting me.
Do you know where you were in the third dream when you were shot? Were you at your house? Were you outside somewhere?
I just know that I was out. I was laying on the ground, and when I looked up, my mother was behind me.
Mm-hmm. She was behind you.
Yeah. Yes.
Usually when we have dreams about loved ones like that, you said she died recently or not too long ago.
Year and a half ago.
It has to do with, the nurturing part of a mom coming and giving you comfort. The fact that you were shot, did you say that you had this dream just recently, like 3 weeks ago or something?
Yes.
Yeah. I would say... you probably want to, I would say just be cautious about where places that you go and things like that. I don't think anything's going to happen. I don't think that you're going to be shot. In fact, I would think that you're going to be protected from anything that would try and come against you and take your life early. I think that you're going to live a full life and you're going to have that. I think the fact that your mother came and she was behind you, that tells me it's something of the past, but it's a comfort. It's something that only moms can do. Only mothers can comfort like mothers can comfort. No one really else can do that. And I feel like it could be shots when you dream about being shot or something like that. It could also mean that people are taking pot shots at you, some kind of... a verbal attack or something like that, some sort of something that would try and compromise your current life. But I believe that you're going to find yourself walking in a almost an overcoming level where you're not going to be taken out. And your mom will be, a comfort. She's still going to, her voice in her, what she did and what she said and how she was with you on this earth will still be a comfort to you. But I don't believe it has anything to do with her showing up and it's a sign or anything like that, that you're going to be joining her. I don't pick that up. I don't sense that in my own understanding of what you're telling me. I just think that it just has to do with, with you being able to overcome it or not be subjected to that kind of thing.
Anthony, did you feel comfort from the dream when your mother appeared? Did it comfort you? Did you have that sensation either during the dream or when you woke up?
Yeah, the first two dreams, my mother passed from ovarian cancer, and I spoke to her 2 days. She passed Saturday. and I we didn't know, and you know, so she was on life support, and you know, I've been dealing with it for the last year and a half. It's been really tough. So those dreams had woken me in the middle of the night when she came to me, and the only thing I could take from it is that she is okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Really, the only thing I
can
take from it is that she's okay.
Well, I think that's a good thing to take from it, and I'm sorry for your loss. I feel your pain because I lost my mother not long ago as well, and I waited a long time before I had a dream. I was looking forward to having a dream about my mother after she passed, and it took over a year and a half, maybe even 2 years before I started dreaming about her. But when they came, they were very comforting. This is Mark. Mark's in Charlotte, North Carolina. Hey, Mark, welcome to the program.
Hey, excuse me, thanks. I have a quick question, and it's basically if, I'm sorry, your guest name?
Cindy McGill. Cindy is our guest tonight.
Cindy. If Cindy has ever heard of this before, okay, so about, I'm going to say about 3 or 4 years ago, all of a sudden, and ever since then, I randomly get snippets of dreams that I've had. I think maybe I pinned it back at 15 years, even 15 years ago, dreams that I could have never come up with, totally forgot about. But when they drop in my head for a second, you know, I'm like, oh yeah, I do remember that. And it's just weird. I mean, sometimes I'll get two or three in a row.
So, Mark, what you're saying is you'll be dreaming and during.
No, I'm wide awake.
Oh, you're wide awake, and these are coming back to you.
Yeah, I'm just going around minding my own business, and all of a sudden, boom, a dream from 10 years ago. Not the whole thing, obviously, but just a part of it. And I'm like, wow. You ever heard of that?
Yes.
You have?
Yes, I have. Yeah, you need my
book. Oh, thank God. I thought I was the only person.
Yeah, that happens a lot, actually. You know, most of our lives, I'll speak for myself, I would have dreams, too, like this, and then all of a sudden, when we started having an avalanche of them, I started knowing that they're very valid. They have messages. They have life messages for us oftentimes. And in your case, that's exactly what this is. These are dreams that just pop into your head. You're going about your business, and all of a sudden you remember you had a dream about that. That's why journaling would be really important for you, because you can go back and you can actually read when you had that dream, and it'll give you the rest of the story. Oftentimes, people will tell me, oh, I don't dream, or I forget, or I never remember my dreams. Well, it's a value system. If you put value on them and you know that they have messages for you that are life messages, you'll begin to remember them more and more and more. Mm-hmm. And I kind of think that's what's happening to you. You're getting, I call it prophetic recall. It's like your spirit knows that you've gotten a dream, but your mind doesn't really always remember it. But your spirit's alive, too, and it'll revisit that dream and wake you up to it.
Real quick, so it was a dream probably that I had 10 years ago, meant nothing to me at the time, totally forgot about it. But it was like I was in Chicago, and I was checking into a hotel or something, going up an elevator in a skyscraper, and I look out, and there's another skyscraper like a stone's throw away from me, but it's a glass one, but it's missing half the glass. It's like apartments, and there are people that are none too happy because they're in an apartment with no window and 70 stories up, and it's just weird. But, you know, it just dropped back into consciousness 10 years later, you know, minding my own business, and it was just weird. And I just hope that I'm not wasting, you know, I hope I don't have 15 years worth of dreams taking up space in my brain, because that's a lot of memory, you know?
It's a lot of information, for sure.
it wouldn't be that.
Yeah, you say it's not that's not uncommon to recall dreams from years ago, Cindy?
No. Okay. No, they're not. It's not uncommon, because the ones that are really going to mean something are going to be branded on the inside of you. On Dreams, the documentary that we have actually on my website, you can see it. You can actually get it. as a download. There was a man who told us a dream. He was at the Sundance Film Festival. He had a dream 30 years ago, okay, from the time we talked with him. And he recalled the dream just as if he'd had it the night before we saw him.
Wow.
I mean, it was that clear.
That vivid.
And he couldn't forget it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Hey, Mark, thank you for sharing that. Let's go to Randall. Randall's in Lake City, Florida. Hey, Randall, welcome to the program.
Hi. This has been kind of an interesting night for me. I just happened to turn on the radio. Normally, I don't listen to programs like this, but I have in the past, and I was listening to the fellow that was sharing about Broderick Crawford, and I thought it was so interesting, and I thought if they get the number over the radio, I've got to call in on this, because I had an experience. I was living in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. I would say I would have been, I don't remember how old I was. I wasn't that old, maybe a young teenager or somewhere in there. Anyway, it was in the paper that Broderick Crawford was in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, visiting a relative. And it gave the address in the paper, or somehow my folks knew about it, and they told me and my sister about it. And I remember that program as a kid. It was, I think it was called Highway Patrol, and he was kind of a heavy set patrolman. And I could just visualize his face, because my sister and I walked up to the house where he was staying with the relative, and we knocked on the door, and they opened the door, let us in, and we got to talk with him, and I got his autograph. And we went on home.
Oh, wow.
And the only other time I'd had that is when my folks did something similar is Tony Dow from Leave It to Beaver. I got his autograph on an island outside of California that we'd visited to and happened to see him there.
Wow.
But anyway, it was so interesting. I'm a Christian, and dreams, you know, dreams are in the Bible. But it's a way... You know, you could have bad dreams, you can have good dreams, but the Lord could speak to you on something. And a dream that I had years ago in similar dreams is when I had come to the Lord and then I started backsliding from Him. And one time I had this Dodge Dart GT, 1967, and in the car I was going like 80 to 100 miles an hour backwards.
Wow.
And a lot of times when I've had dreams, I'll have them just before I wake up. And those dreams, if I will log on to it and think about it, it's like it's stuck in my brain. And sometimes I've written dreams down that way. And I felt like the Lord was saying to me, you are going in a wrong, you're going backwards. Get on track. Come back to me. I love you. And I've had other dreams similar, where I used to run routes through the years, milk routes, and I had a Schwann route where I delivered door to door, and I'd have dreams that were kind of frustrating, like I couldn't get through the route, or all of a sudden I was confused, and all of a sudden I was running these routes and I wasn't getting through it, and there was nothing I could do about it. And just odd dreams like that that were similar in different situations. And I felt like the Lord was telling me, too, you know, just to get back on track and do what's right, and everything will go well for you. Anyway, yeah. I thought I'd call and share that, because I thought that was so interesting about Broderick Crawford.
That is interesting.
I know.
Yeah, thank you, Randall, for sharing that with us. I just want to ask Cindy, basically what Randall was saying there is that he clearly feels those messages are coming from God, and they're helping shape his life in a certain way. But I also want to ask about what he said. He tends to remember the dreams that happen just before he wakes up. Is that when we remember most of our dreams?
Yes, I think so. I know it is for me. Yes, for myself, and I think many, many people, we find that the clearest dream, or the most significant dream, or the one we're going to have the most impact on us, is the one just before we wake up. However, you get with the young kids, like kids, I'm going to say 20s, you know, late teens, 20s, early 30s, whatever, they have 5 and 6 dreams a night, and they can recall every one of them. And so, you know, they'll even wake up sometimes. And when we first started doing this, we were also getting a few dreams in a night, and we'd have a lighted pen and paper by our bed so that we didn't have to turn the light on to write a dream down. And usually, you know, end up going to the bathroom or whatever, you know, too. You come back, you write part of the dream down, you go back to sleep, and you start having either a continuance of the dream or you have another dream. So for me nowadays, the most significant dream are the ones that's going to make an impact on me or something I need to pay attention to will be just before I wake up.
Let's go to Dwayne. Dwayne's in New Orleans, Louisiana. Hey, Dwayne, welcome to the program.
How are you?
Terrific. You're on with Cindy.
Okay. How are you doing, Miss Cindy?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm all right. Okay, so I have very lucid and tangible dreams. Like, I can feel temperatures. I can feel textures, see color, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah.
I had a dream one night. I had a dream one night that I was walking down the street and I turned a corner. And when I turned the corner, there my friends were lined up across the street, like shoulder to shoulder, and they were wearing black trench coats. So I was like, hey, guys, how's it going? And they ripped their trench coats open, and they were just stacked with guns.
Ooh.
And they started shooting at me, and I could actually feel every bullet hit me. You know, the searing, sharp pains of being shot. I could see pieces of me being flown off. And I figured as soon as I could turn the corner where I came from, I would wake up. But getting there was the chore. I finally made it around the corner, and I woke up. And it did that thing where you sit up and you start checking yourself for bullet hole, you know. So
sure. Yeah. It feels so real.
And
yeah.
It was just, like I said, I could feel that it was a warm, sunny day and, you know, the street, all the colors of a natural city. And so what do you think that means? Or should I just go check myself into a mental institution?
Well, first thing I'll say, Dwayne, is you need to find better friends. Because if your friends are going to have guns under their trench coats and start shooting at you, well, you need better friends. But, Cindy, what do you think?
I think it probably has to do with a time in your life. I'm not sure how long ago you had this, but something where betrayal, just people that you thought you could trust ended up taking shots at you. And some people would say a dream like that would be, well, I was stabbed in the back, you know. Has to do with words, has to do with something to try and trip you up, or unassuming. You weren't expecting that. Everyone has had something like that at times, or just out of nowhere, just someone that you thought you could trust, or people that you thought you could trust, or a work situation, were just turned, you know. And let's flip it around and let's say that it's because you have a purpose and you have something that you need to do, and so you're being shown something. You're being shown that, hey, this is not the crowd or the tribe that you're going to be connected with as you proceed into this new arena or new season that you're walking into. So I think it shows me a little bit about your purpose and the fact that, you know, you may have people that betray you or act weird, you know, or have hidden things, weapons that would try and come against you to try and sabotage or take your spot or trip you up or whatever. But you're coming into a season where those people just aren't going to be going with you in that time. So I think it has a greater purpose. And it's interesting, too, because we are moving into a new decade. This is a brand new time. It's a new era. And so it's 2020. And I like that because I think of it as perfect vision, where we're going to be stepping into now, seeing things more clearly than we've ever seen them before. And so I would say that's what your dream tells me too, that you're going to have, you're going to learn from it, you know, so to speak, and be able to understand and know, okay, well, then these just aren't the people that I need to be with. So, and they were your friends. And had it just been just a bunch of guys and you didn't know them, it would have a different meaning. But these were people that you thought you could trust. And you even greeted them and you said, hey, guys, you know, this and that. So I just feel like that you're going to be probably transitioning into something brand new, people, new alignments, new assignments, new appointments. Everything is going to start lining up for you. That these will be the people, the new ones will be the ones that will help you through your journey for the future days.
Dwayne, thanks for the phone call. We have to let you go because we're just running out of time here. Cindy, it's been great having you on again. It always is. And once again, your book is called What Your Dreams Are Telling You. Now, do you have anything else in the works you want to let people know about?
Well, we're doing a lot of workshops. We're doing trainings. And so, you know, if people want to have a class where we actually come in and we teach you and teach dream interpretation to a group, your business, your groups, or whatever, you know, 100 people or whatever you want, we can make a time to come in and begin to do some one-on-one. I love the workshops because they're very personable. They're very relational and people get so much out of them. And like I said, dreams are inexhaustible. It's just going to be a lifelong journey of learning how to interpret and hearing people's hearts and hearing what they, you know, their situations and being able to offer help, or give them, like I said, the silver lining, you know, in a dream course. So that's going to be coming up this next year too. We're going to increase our dream training. And, I've had dream teams, since we started doing this, I had 50 dream interpreters on the streets at the Sundance Film Festival, and they were from all over the world, and we got together and began to compare notes about the dreams we got, and they were so fun. It was just so, it was rich. It was a fun time. And so, anyway, it's just something to do. It's something great to do, actually.
Yeah, and are the is that information on your website as well?
It is,
okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, so the website is cindymcgill.org. Cindy, I hope you'll agree to come back at some point, and I hope you have a great Christmas.
Of course. Thank you. You too. Merry Christmas to you and to your family and all the listeners and everyone. I just hope it's a great year.
I should have asked what dreams of sugar plums dancing in your head means when we had Cindy on, because a lot of people have those dreams around this time of year. Tomorrow night, we're going to be talking with Lon Strickler. He's a Fortean researcher, and we'll talk about his research of winged humanoid creatures that have been appearing around Chicago, as well as alien disclosure. And whenever we start talking about winged humanoid creatures, the Mothman discussion can't be far behind. That's tomorrow night's program. Of course, Friday is a best of, and I hope everybody has a great weekend, but we will see you tomorrow night. So take care, have a great night, and tomorrow night it's winged humanoid creatures right here on Beyond Reality Radio.